in peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in our gospel reading today, we hear about a persistent Canaanite woman and a reluctant, withdrawn Jesus. Jesus, our master, says words to the Canaanite woman that must have felt like a slap to the face. He compares her request to the request of a dog begging for food from its master's table. Have you ever seen a dog near food? Whether well-behaved or not, most dogs will not shy away from the opportunity to eat as much food as they can get. I happen to have one of these dogs. My dog, Kal-El, is a retired greyhound racer. We call him Cal for short. When we first adopted Cal, he was very quick to snatch food from the table. When we first adopted Cal, he was very confused why that was wrong. You see, being tall and having a long neck, he's just the perfect height for reaching over and eating food from the table. But, in fact, it's a lot harder for him to bend down and to eat food off the floor. It's just so easy to reach over and lick food off the surface of the table. After initially adopting him, we hadn't quite had the time to strengthen his trust in us, or to instill the faith necessary to let him know that we would feed him. However, after several weeks, or possibly months, we eventually taught him that eating off the table was not the right thing to do. It is kind of like how Jesus says to the Canaanite woman, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." If I allowed Cal to eat food from the table, it would be no different than if I'd taken my son's dinner roll and thrown it to the dog. Part of Cal's exposure to our family was also an exposure to kids at a dinner table. Cal learned that he could as easily eat from the disaster zone, ground zero, around my kids' chairs. Isaac, my third kid, has a very special bond with Cal because of this. We have repeatedly tried to teach Isaac not to take handfuls of food and drop them for the dog. We have also repeatedly tried to teach the dog not to start emergency cleanup until after dinner. Otherwise, Cal will come forward to clean up that dropped piece of spaghetti, only to get a spaghetti-covered sauce of hamburger dropped on his head. We are to the point now that Cal obeys and trusts his masters and waits until after dinner before coming over to clean up the crumbs. He has faith that the blessings of food given to the children will abundantly overflow to him as well. It took time to train Cal. It took time to train a trusting relationship. It took time. However, it took very little time for the Canaanite woman to trust Jesus. She approached Jesus right from the beginning with trust. Yet Jesus, our master, told the Canaanite woman that he would not be granting her request. A request that, according to Jesus, was outside of his mission to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Instead, he calls her a dog. A dog, but a dog with an unexpected rebuttal. She could have argued with Jesus. She could have gotten angry. She could have thrown a fit. She could have just walked away. But she didn't. Instead, she agrees with him. She is a dog. She is a servant. She is submissive to Jesus, her master. She shows by her words that she doesn't want to steal food from the children of Israel. Instead, she trusts that the blessings of food given to the sons will overflow to her as well. What an amazing and humbling response. She had every right to contradict Jesus, but she didn't. Think about it. her daughter was severely oppressed by a demon. She came to Jesus out of love for her daughter. In fact, in the Greek, it's implied that she persistently, repeatedly, and continually kept seeking mercy for her daughter. What a strong love this mother had for her child. Surely Jesus would see the love for her child and have mercy. Instead, Jesus does not answer her a word. How would you have reacted? Now, don't get me wrong. I doubt many of you know what it's like to have a child who's a demoniac. I question my own children's actions at times, but I am assured that their faith and their baptism keeps the demons at bay. We might not know a lot about demon possession, but we do know a lot about long-term diseases. So instead, imagine that your son or your daughter or a dear friend is deathly sick. What would you do? You'd first find a doctor, the one doctor in the world who found a cure, the one doctor in the world who can heal them, the one doctor in the world who is master of their fate. That one doctor tells you he can't. He's on vacation right now, and he has a strict no-work policy while on vacation. Besides, you're not even in his insurance network. How would you have reacted? Would you have reacted with the humility and the faith shown by the Canaanite woman? Or would you have gotten angry, screamed, yelled, cried, tried to convince him that your son, your daughter, your friend deserved to be saved? That one doctor is the master in his field of medicine. Would you accept his leadership? Or would you impatiently try to force your will upon him? That one is Jesus, our master. God made him our leader to strengthen us. And strengthen us he does. God strengthens by teaching us to trust in Jesus. God strengthens by teaching us to wait in Jesus. In a similar manner, but in a much more limited sense, we strengthen the trust of our dog Cal by teaching him to trust us. For example, Cal trusts that when we tell him to sit or lay down, he gets a treat. However, for those commands, the treat's given almost immediately. It takes a lot more faith and trust on the part of Cal to wait for the treat when we tell him to stay. The command of stay for a dog is like wait for us. God often tells us to wait. The promise of a reward and an answer is out there. But we must wait. We must trust God to train and teach us according to His divine will. What has God done to teach you trust? What has God done to teach you faith? What has God done to teach you His will? God's divine will was to make Jesus our Lord and Master. The Canaanite woman surely loved her daughter, but that wasn't the reason for Jesus to grant her request. Instead, she trusted in the gospel message that she had heard about Jesus. If she is to be a dog, then praise be to God, because dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. At this, Jesus exclaims, "Great is your faith." Jesus, her master, gave her faith, and Jesus, your master, gives us faith. Faith is the means that God uses to give us forgiveness. Faith is the means that God uses to make his blessings apply to you. Faith is the means that God uses to build trust in Jesus. Jesus, your master, forgives your impatience and arrogance. He overcomes your ignorance by granting you faith. Jesus, your master, creates faith by giving you a promise. He establishes trust in you through that promise. As it says in our Lutheran confessions, the promise freely offers to us reconciliation on account of Christ, which was received not by works, but by faith alone. This faith does not bring to God trust in our own merits, but only trust in the mercy promised in Christ. Jesus is your master. Jesus forgives your sins. And Jesus grants you faith to receive that forgiveness. God made Jesus Lord and Master over all things, and nothing in heaven or on earth can separate you from His love. Thanks be to God, Jesus is our Master. Now to Him who is immeasurably more to do all than we ask or imagine, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Please